Eric Krangel joins us here, who was once on the cutting edge, right? Because Reuters came to you and said,
"Eric, John,
we want you, buddy, to be a correspondent in Second Life, the virtual world." If you don't know what Second Life is, it's a virtual world where people become avatars and interact in a graphic environment that looks real enough, but is just on your computer screen. So when they said, "Eric, we want you to be the correspondent for Reuters in Second Life," you said,
"Yes, of course. I mean, it's the most fun beat there is in journalism. Can't beat that."
And you imagined that you would be covering what?
Well, you know, we were Reuters, so we weren't so much in there just to sort of, you know, hang out and look around and
see
what's cool.
Come
on. We were a little bit. I was there for that. But in terms of our journalism, I mean, we were talking about it from a business standpoint. You know, is this a technology that's really taking off? Is it going to become the future of the web? Who's making money in there? Because at the time Reuters went in there, we saw all sorts of, high-profile brands like Sony BMG, American Apparel. Everyone was rushing into Second Life to set up corporate presences. And that's what we were tracking. Were these presences working or were they not?
And a lot of my friends in advertising were running in there doing BMW,
sure,
you know, those kinds of things. So you discovered that the answer to a lot of those questions was no. And the answer to the question of, hey, am I on the cutting edge, Eric Krangel, the answer was, well, no, maybe not. So what happened to you ultimately?
Well, eventually Reuters shut down its Second Life Bureau. You know, it was an interesting phenomenon because there I was, you know, talking, you know, as a real life brand working for Reuters,
right,
in Second Life. And so, first of all, a lot of my early stories were companies pulling out of Second Life.
Right.
And eventually, as I started to look more and more in terms of seeing how are brands using Second Life, what are Second Life's capabilities for business, the guy in there using it for business was me,
right,
which was an interesting
you
phenomenon.
Became the story.
Not exactly what you had anticipated. In fact,
no,
you're
wasn't.
Quite brutal, although you say that you're not surprised at all that your job was pulled. Because it doesn't make any sense, but also list the other reasons why you think Second Life actually is not such a perfect model as many thought in the beginning.
Well, I don't want to say that I'm brutal, and actually I'm really quite fond of Second Life. And, you know, if you hang out in Second Life for a little bit, you know, it's really a fantastic community of people. I mean, people there, you know, it's a community in the sense that MySpace or Facebook or a lot of other online communities are not. People have a real sense of togetherness, so I don't want to be overly harsh.
But it's a niche community other than a mass community. And I think the BMWs of the world were betting this was going to be the next big thing. And in fact, it's a small thing for a lot of interesting aficionados.
Sure, I'd agree with that completely, John. I mean, one of the things that was really interesting about Second Life, and, you know, as a reporter looking at the numbers, I'd always, you know, try to figure out, you know, is Second Life growing? How's it growing? And one thing I kept noticing the more and more time I spent in Second Life is that total hours kept going up, 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 up. But if you took a look at the number of accounts, the number of new registrations, flat.
That was plateauing.
So, you know, what you started to see was your real hardcore users, the people that get Second Life, the people that Second Life appeals to, the people that like it. I mean, for them, it's the most wonderful, amazing thing in the world. They want to spend all their time there. All their friends are there. Their social circles, their parties. That's what they do. And it's just insanely addictive. But for a general audience, it's really
right.
You know, not necessarily, it doesn't always click.
And so a general service news organization like Reuters has less use for that kind of a community than something that's, you know, poised to become a big mass media phenomenon. You are now working as a staff writer with Silicon Alley Insider.
That's
Do
right.
you think the decline as you observed it in Second Life was some kind of leading indicator of what we're experiencing more broadly in the economy now?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, Second Life is really kind of a special case that defies all rules. It exists in its own world, quite literally. I think what we saw with Second Life was, you know, when it came out really over 5 years ago, it was 3D. You could go in, you could walk around, and everyone thought, you know, is this the next web? Because, you know, 10 years ago, you know, even the web was new. And what I think we grew to learn was that Second Life has a real appeal for a certain number of people, but it's not necessarily the next web, not yet. In, you know, maybe 10 or 20 years, when the technology gets better, that's something that maybe we could look into.
But is the experience of Second Life, does that inform what the new web will be?
Quite possibly. You know, one of the interesting things about Second Life is I would sort of compare it in a way almost to CompuServe in the 1980s. I mean, when you look at CompuServe, you had email, you had bulletin boards, you had chat rooms, you had personals and people meeting each other and getting married from meeting each other on CompuServe. Of course, CompuServe, you know, even though it had all of these features of the internet, it was too early, it was too niche, it was too, in a word, geeky. And even though the internet, you know, had a lot of these same features, 10, 15 years later, when AOL and other companies sort of made it for the every man and every woman, CompuServe was remained sort of a little community.
And but it was cannibalized. It was, I mean, it's essentially its features were cannibalized for the mass audience, even though it remained as a small community.
Sure, and it wouldn't surprise me to see maybe, you know, 10 or 15 years from now, a lot of the Second Life type experiences, being in 3D, being able to make your own content, reach a more general audience. But I'm not sure if Second Life right now, if the technology is really there, if the usability is there. It's not. It's really pretty difficult for a lot of people to get into. It takes a lot of technical expertise. The software can be difficult to learn how to use.
And if a lot of users are using it, the thing crashes a lot. Eric, is it Krangle?
Yes, it is.
Krangle, yeah. And can I ask you one question about your avatar?
Anything. Sorry.
Your avatar looks nothing like you. And is really quite hot and has some very dreamy eyes there.
So you're saying
and
that I'm not hot and I don't have dreamy eyes,
as
John?
Hot as your
that's
avatar.
The meanest thing I've
Eric,
ever heard.
Do you
Eric,
miss your avatar,
hot.
Eric?
Oh, thank you.
Do you miss being your avatar?
I do miss my avatar, yeah. And I still go into Second Life. I mean, I have a lot of friends there. There's great people.
That's great. Eric Krangle is a former correspondent for the Reuters news agency in Second Life. He's currently a staff writer with Silicon Alley Insider. Thank you very much for coming
thank
in,
Thank you, John.